everyone, and welcome to In Conversation, a video series from Shift. Today, our video partner is Hollywood Branded, and we're going to be talking about the space of marketing that exists in between brand advertising and M&E production. Our guest today is Stacey Jones, the CEO of Hollywood Branded. Welcome, Stacey.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for being here. So I'd love to start off by just having you introduce yourself a little bit. Tell us a little bit about your company and what you guys do.
Sure. So as you already introduced, I'm Stacey Jones. I founded Hollywood Branded back in 2007. So we're going into our 13th year right now. And we are a pop culture content marketing agency. And what that means is we leverage Hollywood and celebrities and influencers in order to have them become part of a brand's marketing campaign or have the brand become part of their content. And what that means is we work on TV shows and feature films and music videos. We create product placement opportunities for the brand to be interwoven within the storyline, used as a prop or a set or a location or a wardrobe item. We create larger, you know, those big brand integration moments in movies and TV shows where you'll then see a full circle promotional campaign supporting it, utilizing the brand's media or retail space. We also do celebrity endorsements, invite celebrities to attend brand events. We do influencer marketing, and that's really our world.
Awesome. So can you walk us through a typical workflow for your company? I know you mentioned the kind of the advertising you do, again, between the brands and the production. Mm-hmm. So let's start by talking about maybe before kind of everything really changed. We'll get into that a little bit later. But 6 months ago, a year ago, what did your position look like in terms of did a brand come to you or a production comes to you and how you kind of work through that process with each of your clients?
Sure. So we're really positioned as the brain in between a production and a brand. We speak the language of what creatives need to be able to have happen within their content, because it's very different than what brand marketers need and want to have happen with their brand. And so our agency, I've been in this field for, going on 24 years now, founded the agency. We have a really stellar reputation in Hollywood. So all the studios, the production companies come to us. They knock on our door. They know the clients we work with or know that we have other clients and project clients that we work with. And they provide their scripts to us or they invite us in behind closed doors to read them. And our team goes in, we read them, we break them down. We look for the opportunities for brands to become part of that essence of the script. And the secret here is it's not that it's, oh, what's the brand going to be paying for the opportunity to be in this movie or TV show, it's more so how can the brand help the production? So there's three tiers there. There's the first, which is trade and loan. A production needs to have their stories look real. When you have a movie or TV show and someone is holding a can and it says beer, that's gonna pull you out of that element. You actually need it to be able to say a real brand, so that you're not knocked out of that content. And then you also need it to say the right brand. So when we're working with a brand, they're getting actually cast into, just like talent, into that content, because a brand has their own story and they have their own type of consumer that uses that product or is associated with that product. And it helps immediately cement who that character on screen is. So if you have a super high profile lawyer, they're going to be surrounded with a Montblanc pen. They're going to be driving in Acura. They're going to be, you know, living in this world that is a little bit more prestigious. If you have someone who is younger and they're a college student, they're going to have brands that are relevant to that space and time. And so we're working with the production to help them with the clients we work with, bring to life those characters. We're helping them save money. They're not having to go out and purchase the brands. They're not having to go out and knock on the doors of each of those individual brands and try to figure out who to speak with, because any brand that's shown in content actually has to have legal clearance to be there. Production can't go to the grocery store, buy lots of products, and then just shove them in the scene. They actually need to get clearances from that. And so all of this helps the production save time and helps them save money. And then they're able to work on creating their content better with the dollars that they have, the time that they have, and refocus that. On a second level to that, we have cash, right? So cash is king, lots of people say, but only about 40% of Hollywood even takes dollar deals for integration. Most of the times the partnerships you're seeing are based on a trade out or a loan of good. Maybe there's cash or there is a big promotional partnership, because promotional partnerships are the third way that I want to talk about how brands help movies come to life. If a film is able to work with a brand and the brand says, okay, for 6 to 8 weeks around this movie's release, I'm going to co-brand my TV, my digital, my out of home, my print advertising, my in-store retail, that movie no longer has to allocate that below the line budget of marketing to that. The brand is helping them offset. And sometimes this is offsetting millions, tens of millions of dollars. Like think Heineken and James Bond. That was a $50 million media campaign. It's not that Heineken paid Bond $50 million. They allowed their advertising to be taken over and they're co-promoting it. And now their association is giving them that star-studded feel.
Right.
And the movie is winning because they're getting all of those eyeballs. So right. That's what we do.
So it's really a win-win situation for both the brand and the production. It makes me imagine that you're in this really unique position amongst marketers where you're kind of in between these two worlds and you kind of have the interests of two clients or customers at heart. So on one side, you have the production. On the other side, you have the brand. Can you talk me through a little bit that experience of kind of being that middleman? So making sure that you're addressing and speaking to the needs of both parties, making sure you're finding that right pairing between those two people. You're kind of juggling a lot of different things all at the same time.
We are, because our end goal at the end of the day is not to be shoving a brand down a viewer's, you know, throat. That's not anyone's goal. That's not the brand's goal. That's certainly not the production's goal either. Productions are creative souls. They actually don't love being told what they need to do and how they need to have their content shaped. So when I said earlier that we help, you know, we speak the language of productions, we can take a deep dive and look at a production and see where a brand may actually help, where they can offset those dollars, but where they can also make a scene more real. And we share that thought and that guideline and that insight with the production. That's part of our educating them and helping them see where the brand makes a logistical fit. Now, on the opposite side with the brand, brands are notorious for wanting to control their messaging, right? They build 30-second TV ad spots and they run them, and it's all about the brand, right? It's the brand. You can't do that in a movie, and you can't do that in a TV show. You can, to a degree, do that in a talk show, and it makes sense where you have some controlled messaging, but sitting there and trying to get your brand into that content and bopping people over the head with it, all it's going to do is turn people off. And so we work with the brand to help them understand how we need to sculpt and craft and where messaging makes sense, where it's a little obnoxious. You know, you want the beauty shot, you need the product, but do you need it to be front and center or can it be part of the scene? It's going to be seen, you know, viewers take notice. It does not have to be something where it's a full insert shot and it's beating, it's pulsing, and oh, count to five, let's see how long it's on screen.
Right.
At the end of the day, the brand's not going to want that because they're going to hear pushback, especially on social media.
Yeah, I think that even just as a viewer and as an audience member, I've become specifically attuned to, you know, what we would call product placement. Every time I see it, it's become pretty easy to spot. And I have noticed the way that brands and productions are becoming a little more clever and becoming a little more subtle, because I think audiences are becoming smarter and more aware. And the last thing you want is to feel like you're being spoken down to, or again, have something, you know, hit you over the head with a brand messaging. So I can imagine that it's evolved a little bit in terms of brands being okay with having just a little more subtle integration rather than the beauty shot or the hero shot that you might have seen 50 years ago.
Well, and we still want hero shots and we still want beauty shots. It's just we want them to be naturally and organically and authentically part of the scene. And our agency is there to, you know, as much as the production doesn't want to necessarily have their production taken over, We're there to nudge and help and find the areas that make sense and to be the advocate for the brand that we're representing. And, you know, oftentimes our brands are like, no, we want more, but we can be the voice of reason and also show them where it makes sense and where it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
But, you know, with you noticing product placement, everyone noticing product placement, I will tell you a little secret. Over 90% of what you see in movies and TV shows, it's not paid for. It is literally because the production knew that brand would enhance it, or they needed to offset costs, or it just made sense for the character, or there maybe there was a larger trade deal that was going on, so they're like, I'll scratch your back if you scratch my back. But everything's not money driven in the land of Hollywood. In Hollywood, everything's relationship driven. If you don't have the relationship, if you just want to come in like gangbusters, you're like, I have money, I'm taking over Hollywood, I'm getting into the movies, and you're this brand and you're a one-shot wonder, you're not actually going to do very well, because it's about building trust and loyalty. Because what happens is these producers, these directors, prop masters, set decorators, transportation coordinators, stylists, they go from one movie, one TV show to another streaming platform to another, to another, to another. And they're working with agencies like ours and the brands who that they've created relationships with on each of these. And sometimes their productions are awesome, and sometimes they're not as awesome,
right.
But they need help.
Right.
And so they come to depend on an agency like ours because we're always there to help them. We're back. We're supporting them, and we're making sure that their job is going to be done more easily than if they didn't have the opportunity to work with us. So brands have to have that same mindset. They need to do an approach where they are creating a relationship with Hollywood, that they're saying yes to projects that might not be their number one, not holding out. Because what happens also is content changes. And if you're not on the set, you miss the opportunity. But if you're on the set, all of a sudden you can have this magic happen that you didn't even know was going to happen. And you're like, oh my God, look at my brand.
Right. Great and opportunity just yeah. pops up, and you wouldn't yeah. have ever scripted it or planned it in advance. Do you find that when you work that the first contact often comes from one side or the other? Do you find that more often than not, brands come to you first and say, hey, I'm looking for a production, or a production comes to you and says, hey, I'm looking for a brand? Or is it kind of 50-50?
Well, pre-COVID, we were working on a minimum of 6 to 15 new productions on a weekly basis. Wow. So we're getting new productions in every single day. And they're saying, here's our script, here's our production, here's our synopsis. Now, do you have any brands that would be interested? Or maybe they know which brands that we are representing, and they're like, this is the brand I'm coming to for. And then we upsell them on other brands, right? So it comes that way. But we also get our clients where our brands are hiring us, and they're hiring us to look for opportunities for them. So while we're getting these, you know, 6 to 15 different productions on a weekly basis, there are other productions out there that we're hunting down. Mm-hmm. So we have stalkers on our team. We have lurkers on our team. They know how to go through social media accounts. They know how to find the people on set who are the decision makers, and who can then be engaged with to talk about these other brands who, you know, they might not have ever thought that brand XYZ would be great for their production. So they didn't reach out. But once we reach out and connect with them, they're like, oh, this actually makes total sense. This is perfect.
Right. You're like a matchmaker. You're like
we are a matchmaker.
A brand matchmaker. Yeah. It's really, really unique. What an interesting like niche in the market. Talking about post-COVID world. So obviously one half of your business is essentially the production world, and whether that be television or music video or film or what be it, all of that right now has come to a standstill. So can you talk me through what your job looks like now? Are you finding a way to pivot your strategy so that you're still finding ways to get brands in front of audiences, even though production isn't really happening?
Yep. So a couple of things with that. One, our product placement clients, we've moved over in almost every instance to doing influencer marketing for them right now. And that is surging. That's doing incredibly well. We have a rose client, Passion Roses, and we just blew up the campaign for Mother's Day. And they're seeing major, major changes across their socials where they're actually getting new sales from it. Because so much marketing activity has stopped, it's really easy for brands to silo in to see what is working. And if we're the only ones doing anything right now, well, it's working. And you're able to see the results from that. And we're doing that for some other clients as well. All productions have not ground to a halt. So we have evening talk shows, Jimmy Fallon, Jimmy Kimmel, Stephen Colbert that are back. We have daytime talk shows that are still filming, albeit remotely. There are shows now with HGTV. We're in the midst of, they're shooting a home makeover show remotely. So with that, you know, there are content options that are shooting and real that brands can get involved in right this minute. But on the flip side of that, these producers and prop masters and directors and set decorators, they're always hustling, right? The show is greenlit. Go, 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 go. Okay, now we've got it staffed. Now we're in pre-production. Get the product placement deals in. Okay, let's talk, 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 talk. And at the same time, you're trying to design out the entire set. You're trying to figure out and train the actors. You're trying to get everyone together. So there's very limited bandwidth to have them sit down and truly talk and engage and build out storylines on behalf of brands. So we're taking advantage of that right now, of what content can we go ahead and get in front of and have the deep conversations.
Right. Have you found that the specific anxieties or pain points of the brands versus the productions, I assume both of them have kind of different reactions to what's happening right now, and both have their kind of end goal at heart. For the brand, they want to get in front of the most audiences possible. For the production, they want to have a successful and well-viewed movie, TV show, video. Can you talk a little bit about just kind of what you've heard from both sides around the new conversations, the anxieties, the pain points that they're now having to deal with in this new world?
Well, productions are finding opportunities and they're ready to gear up and be on the ground running the moment COVID-19 is done, or at least has settled down. And we're even seeing productions who have game plans in place right now. You have Tyler Perry out of Atlanta, who has a studio there where he's planning on bringing in people. And you and I had kind of teased this out and talked about it before, where he's actually going to do a lockdown on his property. He has living quarters for people. He has the sets. And just like any production that's not shooting locally here in Los Angeles or locally in New York, productions typically all pull their gear together and they have their crews together. They put everything into trucks or ship them off onto boats or planes, and off they go on location. And they're on location all together as a unit without really a lot of outside activity coming in, because sets are closed. Yeah. You're not just tramping around all over a town. You kind of build your own town. They have their craft services. They do catering. It's a self-sustaining business unit when they're shooting. And they can do this anywhere in the world. And that's going to be a solution for COVID-19, because they're going to be able to pre-test people, make sure that they're in quarantine beforehand, or that their temperatures are being taken, or they're doing the antibody tests, or all these different things that are going to roll out to allow us to have a little bit more opportunity to work. And they're going to be able to keep their group siloed, to keep infection at bay.
That was fascinating. We had talked about this earlier in terms of the future of the industry and what it might look like. I always love asking the question because I think everyone has a different imagination of what the future could look like. And that particular point really stood out to me when we spoke about it in terms of siloing and self-containing productions, because again, anyone that's been on set knows you're with the same people day in and day out, sometimes for 1, 2, 3 months. And if we could just take that to the extreme a little bit, with the knowledge that, as is true on any set, if 1 or 2 or 3 people get sick, that little unit is sometimes, you know, everyone kind of gets sick. And there's a lot of questions right now around insurance and waivers and whether or not that kind of, you know, if there are going to be protections for people that do get sick, or whether people are just going to sign a waiver that say, hey, you know, we're kind of taking the chance here. We all want to get back to work. But I found that really fascinating, that idea of let's just take our little group and go out somewhere and we'll only see those 15 people for the next 3 weeks and we'll make our production. And that might be a really viable solution. Going back to the kind of brand placement that we might see in content today, now that everyone's kind of working remotely, can you imagine for us, like as a user or as a viewer, where can I expect to now be seeing those brand placements? So you mentioned some of the late night hosts and daytime hosts, you know, shooting in their living room. I love watching Seth Meyers and Stephen Colbert shoot from their offices. It's a fascinating new world. Can we expect to see brand placement in those types of forms? You mentioned also influencers. So if we're not seeing them in movies and television shows, where are we going to start seeing them more?
Well, we're definitely seeing them right now on your evening and your daytime talk shows. Those are 100% popping up. Kimmel has got this figured out. They're doing a lot where there are story angles of how brands are helping their own communities right now, and they're doing elements where the brands are able to come in and get additional PR and media and placement from doing that, as an example. You're also going to see more celebrities and more influencers, although it's a little tricky, doing influencer posts and supporting it and brand collaborations that are digitally driven. It's not that difficult to send out a, you know, halo light, which we've talked about, and a microphone and some cameras. We've been working with different production companies that are really finessing their skills, and they're offering branded content partnerships right now that can be built. And the networks are hungry, because there is a deficit of content that's going to be coming up, because everything that was shooting to stop, it's not like they got to spend the time to finish it and wrap it up. You know, it ended. So there's a lot of content out there that's not finished. So the networks are hungry for opportunities, and this remote quarantine television period of time is producing content right now. People are shooting, and we're going to start seeing that popping up.
Are you seeing different types of brands increase their presence, and conversely different types of brands decreasing their presence? So I imagine it depends kind of what industry you're in and what you're selling, but are you finding that now with everyone being remote, that there are new types of brands that are kind of raising their hands and saying, hey, now's our time, let's get in the game? And are there other types of brands that are saying like, ooh, we're like, what we're selling isn't really needed right now, we're going to step back for a little bit?
Yeah, we're seeing a massive freeze, and just like any advertising agency is right now, for brand spend. So a lot of deals that were on the table, you know, they got ended because the production's not moving forward. A lot of deals that were in discussion for later, brands are scared because they don't know what's happening. But there's phases to this. And, you know, the first phase is we're all at home. We all are just in a stupor. We don't know what's going on. None of us have had a pandemic. And this is happening, you know, emotionally, everyone's impacted and siloed in their worlds. And it's a really, really tough time, right? But we're over that. We're getting over that right now. We've had that for more than a month. There is a light at the end of the tunnel. So we're entering into, and we're really in phase two at the moment, where that light is showing us that, you know, people are going to stop lock-ins. Other countries are coming out of this. There are plans. Life is going to have to eventually return to a new normal. Not the same normal, but a new normal. So brands are starting to call us more. You know, for the first month, I will tell you, we were reaching out, reassuring, and we were figuring out what to do with the clients that we had on board. It was not a new business development time of success by any means. But in the second phase, we're starting to get a lot of phone calls and emails and inquiries about what could happen in Q3 and Q4. How could a brand start making plans for content partnership? What are the opportunities going to be? And then that phase three that we're going to be getting into is going to be marketing in that new normal. It's where people are going to start finding, you know, okay, we shut down all of our retail stores, or all of the stores that were selling our product at store level, you know, they closed down. What actually happened with that? Well, if we look at China, Nike shut down all of their stores. So did Lululemon. And they were shut down for a period of months. And so zero retail sales, right? Stocks plunged, yeah. Everything was horrible. Well, at the reverse, at the end of about month two, they looked at their numbers and their digital sales soared because people were still buying at home. They still wanted products because we're consumers. Even at the worst of times, we find safety and comfort in buying. We need product still. And so they're able to look and adjust and see that, okay, digital right now in a time of pandemic is something that works for us. And so we're going to keep on seeing that. You know, you have, you know, your automotive advertisers right now, they're right. all trying to be reassuring. They're trying to offer no payments now. In fact, keep your lease if you want to return it because we don't have room on our lots and we'll just extend it. You know, they're trying to figure out a lot of things. Keep the car. We'll pay you to keep the car.
We'll figure it out.
Give it back. Yeah, we'll talk later. But so all of these different industries are figuring out, you know, you have, you know, your food industries right now, they're in overdrive. They can't keep up. You know, your frozen foods, they're selling like hotcakes and they're very interested in what you can do. Your milk industries are very interested. Your industries that are healthcare related, those are all making money right now. And so they're going to be probably some of the first to really reinvest and start and continue marketing in a big way. What we are seeing is a lot of digital platforms, apps, software solutions. They're extremely interested in opportunities right now because they're seeing the need for digital and that their businesses haven't been impacted so much. Yeah. So that's what we're seeing at the moment.
Yeah, it's, who knows? I mean, who knows what's going to happen? I'm fascinated to see how all of these different brands are responding. You're seeing kind of different buckets of responses. And I think some people are starting to get what a crazy time fatigue, where all the brands are saying, this is so crazy. Isn't this so crazy? We're here for you. And as you mentioned, you know, moving in from kind of that phase one of the initial reaction to the phase two of now, the panic is over. Now, how do we move forward? I'm really curious to see what that path forward looks like for different brands and different industries. I think everyone's going to respond differently. My last question for you before we wrap up is around internally. I mean, we're having all these conversations about brands and how they're getting to their audiences and how they're marketing themselves. You yourself manage your own brand. You have your own company. You have the need to reach an audience and get customers and get clients. Internally, how have you changed your own strategy to make sure that you're still getting in front of your customers?
Sure. So it's a great question. So our agency is very, very inbound based. We use HubSpot in order to manage our blogs. We have over 30,000 people who read our content on a monthly basis. We have a great subscription e-newsletter that goes out. We have a podcast, Marketing Mistakes and How to Avoid Them, that I host, where I speak with people in brands and agencies on how to do marketing and business better. All of those have been really strong components of what we do. And while we've not ever really been the, hey, let me make 1,000 phone calls and knock on your door, we love inbound marketing. And since we've had a little bit more time, you know, because COVID-19 has sidelined so many productions, right? We have decided to actually up this even a further notch. And so the first week of August, we're launching the Marketers Content Playbook Virtual Summit. I got that right. Marketers Content Playbook Virtual Summit, where we're bringing in potentially, you know, over 100 speakers to provide insights to brands and agencies on how to do content marketing better, whether that is for their own content through blogs and podcasts, anything inbound related and even PR, over to third-party platform advertising opportunities where you're creating content for others to host, and then our sweet spot, pop culture partnership content. So what we've done is taken this time to dial back and figure out, what do people need? What are people interested in? Our core targets, the brand marketers who are out there, the agency partners that we work with. E-learning is something that people are turning to. It's on the rise right now. If you're not watching TV, you're doing e-learning, I guess, right?
Yeah.
Or listening to podcasts. Or both. Yeah. And so our solution is, how do we create something that's an inbound base? It's something that serves, that offers, that educates, that gives back, because our conference is free. Anyone can come in and listen to it and attend. So how can we do that while still creating a message about who Hollywood Branded is?
I want to thank you so much for taking the time and coming to talk to us. I think you have such a unique perspective on these two huge pillars of our industry, and the fact you sit right in between them, I think gives you a really kind of unique spot. And I'm so, so happy you were able to come share your thoughts and ideas and projects with us. And thank you so much. I hope we'll talk to you again soon.
Well, thank you for this opportunity. I appreciate it. And having your audience have the chance to learn about Hollywood Brain is fantastic.
So awesome. Thank you. Thank you.